Pardon, Lily's minister for 17 years will come and bring a tribute to his personal friend, and we will do that in a few moments. But let's read God's word together. Let me read it to you from the book of John, chapter 14. Very often we turn to this portion in times like this, but we read this scripture at Willie's funeral. We read this to him many times when he was ill, and today we want to turn to John 14. Verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." But Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. We'll ask the Reverend Thomas Murray to come now and lead us in prayer.
Let us just bow together in prayer. Let us seek the Lord's face. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning for the privilege that is ours of coming before thee. We rejoice today that we come before one who not only tasted of death and the grave, but one who triumphed over them. We thank thee that coming into this scene of time, that thou didst take upon thyself the sins of thy people. We rejoice that at Calvary, that thou didst bear our wrath, our judgment, and that thou didst rise again for our justification. And Lord, we thank thee this morning that because thou didst die and rise again, that we sorrow not as those that have no hope. We thank thee for that time when Lily came to know thee as her own and personal Saviour. We rejoice in that instant her sins were washed away and she became a new creature in Christ. And Lord, we would come this morning to give thee thanks for her life. We would thank thee for her life as a believer. We thank thee for her example and her encouragement to the saints of God. We thank thee also for her life as a mother, as a grandmother, and as a great and a great grandmother. And Lord, we thank thee also for her life as a wife. And we would give thee thanks today for the many precious years that thou didst give to her and to Willie. We thank you, Lord, even for their example, even in married life as well. And we rejoice even this morning that they are separated no more, that even today that they are united, even in thy presence, which is far, far better. And Lord, we thank thee today for all for all of her life, and for thy hand of blessing even upon her. We do remember, especially this morning, those that mourn. We thank thee that thou hast said, "Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you." And Lord, we do remember John and Martha. We remember Margaret and Noel and their families. We think of Lily's sister and brother and the whole family circle. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to them in this their time of need. We pray that they might know thine arms of love and comfort around them, and that they might prove even the sufficiency of thy grace, not just today, But Lord, in the days that lie ahead, we thank Thee this morning that we have Thy precious Word, and in Thy Word that we do find comfort. And Lord, we commit this service into Thine hands. We pray especially for the one who would open up Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst give to him power and words from Thyself. And we pray, Lord, that beyond everything else, that we might hear Thy still small voice speaking even to our hearts. And Lord, we think especially this morning of those who knew Lily, but who are here today, but they don't know her Savior. And Lord, it is our prayer this day that they might close in with the offer of salvation, and they might leave this place redeemed by Thy precious blood. And so, Lord, we commit this gathering now into Thine hands. Close us in with Thyself. Prepare our hearts to hear Thy word. For this we ask in our Savior's name and for His glory. Amen. Amen.
Just before I bring a short tribute to Mrs. Ferguson, I would just like to say to Nolan Margaret and John and Martha, a very deep held sympathy from my wife and family. We're thinking of you especially at this time, to all the grandchildren, the great grandchildren, and the great great grandchildren. It's not many get to that stage, you know, when the great great grandchildren, but Mrs. Ferguson and Willie had that great pleasure. And also, of course, to her brother Jim and sister Nina, we offer you our deepest sympathy and prayers, and you're very much on our minds at this time. I was delighted when the Reverend Thompson asked me to pay tribute to Mrs. Lily Ferguson. It's one of the pleasanter tasks in a funeral service, and it's a great privilege today for me. As Mr. Thompson said, I was Lily's minister for 17 years, and we had great times together. And I was just thinking on it this morning again as I was thinking of this. I never ever heard Willie or Mrs. Ferguson in anger. I never heard them saying a wrong word about anybody. And it was always a pleasure to go into their homes. Now, to me, Mrs. Ferguson, and we'll give her title, because she'll be getting at me when we get home to glory. But she was affectionately known as Lily, Lily and Billy, just like two peas in a pod, never separated for any time, only when one was in hospital and, of course, when Willie passed away. And if there's three words which, in my estimation, would sum up the life of Mrs. Ferguson, first of all, she was faithful. She was full of faith. Of course, she not always was full of faith. There was a time, like every one of us, when she was a sinner, for we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But there was a time in her life when she realized, through the preaching of the Word of God and from the testimony of the Scriptures, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And that's absolutely true. There is a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And because she knew she was a sinner, she would never see heaven in that state. She needed a Savior. She needed one who would provide a righteousness for her that she didn't possess. She needed one who could reconcile her unto our Heavenly Father, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And she trusted in Christ as her Savior. She was washed in the blood of the Lamb. And she never, ever was ashamed to say that, no matter what company she was in. She loved to tell others of her salvation. Now, as a Christian, she was faithful, and she was faithful in many ways. She was faithful to the Lord. She never, as we said, was ashamed to witness a good confession, that she knew the Lord as her own and personal Savior, as her husband Willie did. And she loved to talk about the Lord. She loved Him, and she served Him. Oh, she wasn't in the pulpit. She never got to the mission field. But you know, you can serve the Lord in many ways. And Mrs. Ferguson served the Lord in her home, among her family, and in her community, and in this church. And faithful to the Lord. And she's gone to be with him, and she's heard those wonderful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." She was faithful in her attendance at the house of God, and especially in the place of prayer. Prayer seems to have gone out of fashion somehow or other in these days. But Mrs. Ferguson believed in prayer, and she believed with all her heart that nothing would be accomplished without prayer. That if the church was to go forward, if her family was to be blessed of God, if she was to be a blessing in the community in which she lived, she needed to pray. And she prayed. And as often as she could, she was in the house of God morning and night on a Sunday, and the Wednesday night prayer meeting she never missed. Willie and Lily were always there in their place. You know, that's a great encouragement to any minister. When he can look down the congregation and he can see that wee woman there, you never really hear much, but you know she's there. And she's praying in her heart, and she's with you all the way. She was faithful in her attendance to the house of God. She is faithful in her tithing to the house of God. She was very faithful in that. Faithful to Mount Marion. And I'm certain, I can say this without a shadow of doubt, faithful in her prayers and support to every minister she sat under in Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church. Mrs. Ferguson was a minister's man. She loved the congregation, of course, but she backed the minister 100%. She prayed for him. She knew the problems, the difficulties, the things that would affect any church, and she knew that he needed prayer. And when Lily and Willie said to me, "Brother, we're praying for you," I knew that was genuine. I could depend on that. If nobody else prayed, then Willie and Lily, they prayed. And I'm sure every minister, and Mr. Thompson will know that, and he will miss the prayers of Lily and Willie. She was faithful to her husband, Willie. And I was just thinking of Proverbs 31, and we read in verses 10 to 12, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." And that could be said of Mrs. Ferguson. She was good to Willie. And of course, he was good to her. And the two were never separated. They were like peas in a pod. When you saw one, you saw the other. But she was good. That's what a wife is. She's good to her husband. And he has no need to worry. A virtuous woman, a faithful wife, is one that the husband doesn't have to worry about. Where's he going? Who's he with? Or anything else. They're there. And when Mrs. Ferguson and Willie made their marriage vows, it was until death do them part. And that was it. And she was faithful. She was faithful to her husband. She was faithful to her family. Read also in verse 15 in that chapter of Proverbs. "She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens." Faithful to the family. She loved her family. She loved her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, her great-great-grandchildren. She loved her brothers. She loved the Lord's people. But she loved her family and often talked about them. And their problems was her problem. And she would take the problems to the Lord in prayer. I tell you, Mrs. Ferguson's family has much to praise the Lord for today. And she loved every one of them. We could say that Mrs. Ferguson, not only faithful, she was a friendly woman. And you know, that's what you need in these days, don't you? A good friend. A good friend is of great value. And Mrs. Ferguson wasn't just one of my congregation when I served the Lord here. She was a friend. She was a true friend. She was one that would pray for you. One that was genuinely interested in you and your family. And that friendship lasted over 21 years. And you know, it will just go on for eternity. Because there's nothing going to break that. And it was a genuine friendship. And of course, anyone that knew Lily Ferguson, you hardly went into her house, but she would have you a cup of tea. And Mrs. Ferguson was famous for her baking, her scones, and her apple tart. She knew my weakness. And even at the team meetings, Mrs. Ferguson's apple tart was number one on the menu. And very faithful in that way, great friendship. In her friendship, she was kind, a kind-hearted woman. Verse 20 of this chapter says, "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." Now, Mrs. Ferguson didn't make a song and dance, but then she did. I couldn't tell you what Mrs. and Mr. Ferguson paid into the church. I know they prayed and I know they gave. And I don't know what they did in the community, but I know this in my heart. She stretched out her hand. And my wife and family were never poor because Mount Marion saw to that and were very, very good to us as a family. But I can remember on occasions Mrs. Ferguson would say, "You're just going out, are you all right? Would you need any money?" You know, that's the sort of her. And you were really sort of embarrassed, but, "Oh, no, Miss Ferguson, we're fine." But that was the sort of her, "Are you all right?" And there's many people, I'm sure, today, and they can thank God for Mrs. Ferguson for her kindness towards them. A woman that was friendly. The Bible said, you know, if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. And that's what the world needs today, doesn't it? Friendly people. People will talk to you. People say, "How are you? What about you?" And be friendly. A woman of great fortitude. Lily and Willie didn't have a flower's thrown way to heaven. Yes, they lived a long life. It wasn't all a bed of roses. And like every one of us, she faced her trials and her temptations. But she faced them with great courage and fortitude. Every family has their ups and their downs. Every church, every congregation has their ups and they have their downs. And the up times are great and the down times are sad. But through it all, Mrs. Ferguson was like a rock. And she didn't let it get her down. And when you went into their home, it was just an uplifting experience. And many times I come away and say, "Well, I don't know who was blessed the most. I'm supposed to be the minister visiting her to uplift them. But she has encouraged my heart." And she was a woman of fortitude. And even through her illness and her sickness, and time she was in hospital, always smiling, always had a word for you. Of course, Mr. Thompson will know that latterly in life, Willie and Mrs. Ferguson would have sat up here just where the family is today. And of course, when Willie was telling Mrs. Ferguson where the reading was, he was speaking to her as if he was just sitting in the house. It's Ezekiel 34, 4, verse 15. And you know, I got used to that. It didn't bother me, you know. But that was the way it was. That's right, you know. See what he's saying? That's right. But I remember one occasion, I was during the last time of my, near the end of my ministry here. I didn't really know what was going on. I knew there was something between Willie and Lily. I knew there was something on. But it was my wife was telling me afterwards. Willie put his arm around Mrs. Ferguson to adjust her hearing aid. And she thought he was being over affectionate. And that church wasn't the place for it. And my wife said, another said, she said, "I'm not going back to that church again. I'm affronted." But all Willie was doing was adjusting her aid. But that was them. And we loved them. And the Lord, they're missed. You can't have people taken in a congregation like that and not miss them. But the Lord will raise up others. And they have gone to their reward. They've gone to be with Christ, which is far better for them. Yes, the family mourn and grieve today. The Lord knows we're only human. And the Lord illustrated that himself when he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But isn't it great? You don't sorrow as those without hope. They have gone to be with Christ. Mrs. Ferguson is united with Willie. She's with the Lord, which is far better. And you don't sorrow as those without hope. I'll just finish with verse 28 of Proverbs 31. Her children arise up and call her blessed. For she was, and she was a blessing in the family. Mrs. Ferguson, it's not goodbye. It's just good night. We'll meet you in the morning. Thank you.
I'd like to thank both Mr. Murray and Reverend Harden for taking part this afternoon, or this morning still. And there's always a danger of letting a preacher up before you, and that is that he might steal your sermon. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, he's mentioned Proverbs 31, and that's the very portion that I want to turn you to now. But I suppose the last few days has been very difficult for the family, for Noel and for Margaret, for John, for Martha, for the whole family. As a preacher, you're thinking, well, it's just hard to believe that you're to preach at another funeral service for the wife of one of your close friends, Willie Ferguson. That's what he was to myself. And I'm not taking that to myself. I mean that we loved Willie. And now to speak at his wife's funeral today, you wonder, well, what am I going to speak on? For those of you who were there about 5 weeks ago, I preached in Psalm 1, the character of the godly man, and that was Billy Ferguson. Billy was a Christ-like man. He was all the characters of the Lord. And then I thought, well, Lily was a Christ-like woman. And today I want just to draw you to Proverbs 31 for a few moments, and I want to speak on the character of the blessed woman. Mr. Harton has summed it up. They were like peas in a pod, where you saw Billy, you saw Lily, and I suppose there's a bit of irony today in that it's very fitting that both of these dear saints of God have now gone to be with Christ. They've gone together. That's what they wanted. Whenever Billy passed away, you could just sense every day when you called at the home that Lily just did not want to be there. And I know that the family grieve today, but I know there's a sense of almost joy that Lily's gone to be with Willie and to be with Christ. So I want to read those two verses with you this morning in Proverbs 31, verse 10 and 11 and 12. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. We'll just bow for a moment's prayer. Lord, we thank thee today for the great note of victory that has been evident, Lord, in this meeting. We thank thee for the life and for the testimony of Lily Ferguson. But we pray that thou would speak to her hearts, that thou would continue to comfort, Lord, those who feel the loss. But Lord, turn our eyes to Christ. May we get a sight of the glory and the beauty of his person. And Lord, we ask that those things might sustain us in the days ahead. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Proverbs 31 is a very blessed passage. It mentions a particular type of a woman. The book of Proverbs describes many types of women, some that you just wouldn't want to live with. Solomon speaks about the noisy woman, the rebellious woman, the boisterous woman. And the boisterous woman, we're told that the normal man would rather live on the roof of the house than dwell indoors with that type of a woman. But nevertheless, we have here the picture of a woman that I believe Lily Ferguson was, the virtuous woman, a woman who had Christ-like attributes. And we'll mention some of those briefly as we go through this afternoon or this morning. It's interesting to discover in verse 1 of this portion that Solomon, who's writing, he refers to his mother Bathsheba, the wife of David. Bathsheba was not a woman who was perfect by any means. But yet this young lad, as he writes this chapter, he's thinking of his mother, Bathsheba. Even with all her difficulties, with all her problems that she had in her own life, he comes to look upon his own mother as a virtuous woman. Some commentators have said that this is actually Bathsheba dictating to Solomon that he is to look for these qualities in his wife. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. So we find here in this chapter that every part of the woman, the character of this woman, is unfolded before us. Mr. Harton has already described it. She's an ideal wife. She's an excellent neighbour. She's a generous friend. Her influence as a mother, her effectiveness as a mother. It's all seen here in Proverbs 31. Let me just mention to you firstly that such a woman is rare. The rarity of her character. In verse number 10 we're told, who can find a virtuous woman? The word woman there can mean wife. And the word virtuous can mean excellent. Who can find an excellent wife? I can say I found an excellent wife. I know many here today can say they found an excellent wife. And I heard Billy Ferguson say that many times in the home. I've heard Lily say that about Billy. He's a good man. He is the best. I never heard a harsh word from him. I wonder, you know, many times I left the home when I heard Billy or Lily describe her husband. I used to think, you know, gentlemen, could that be said of you? Could it be said of me? Never a harsh word to our wives. Never a cruel thought. Who can find a virtuous woman? She's a very rare person. What about the many applications of her character? These are many. In verse number 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She's a trustworthy woman. She's a very wise woman. And we're finding here that this is the character of the wife, that Lily was a woman whom Billy could trust. She was very wise in her dealings with the home. I know in later years that Lily come to depend on Billy for almost everything. I think she enjoyed that too, allowing Billy to go around the home and do all those things for her. But she was a very industrious woman. She was an excellent wife. Her character was very strong. And I know in recent days when Willie was in hospital, that even the doctors and nurses, you heard them say, you know, it was just amazing to see this man on a stick coming up the ward to see his wife. Or when Billy was in hospital, here was Lily coming in. And they sat just like, you know, newlyweds there at the side of the bed, holding hands. And the love and the devotion, it was more than skin deep. That is, men and women, the character of the godly woman, the excellent wife. She was devoted. I remember that night, many of the family will too, around the bedside when Willie was passing away and he had just gone to be with the Lord, and the doctor came in, and as they do, they checked the pulse, and then they turned to Lily and said, your husband's passed away. And you could just see it written in her face that all the years of devotion to Billy had now come to an end. She'd served him well. She'd served him as the excellent wife. There's an old saying that behind every good man there is a good woman. That's a very scriptural and a very biblical truth. Because we read here in this chapter, verse 23, it says, listen to these words, her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And Billy Ferguson was well known. He was well known in the presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church. He was loved in the Craigiehausen estate, and in anywhere else where Billy Ferguson's name was mentioned, he was well known, but he had a good woman behind him. He had an excellent wife at home. What about her skill as a homemaker? Again, this has been mentioned so many times. Last night in the home, we were saying that 10 Egg South Bank will never be a home again. Maybe for someone else. For Martha and for Margaret, for John, for Noel, for the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, it'll never be a home again. I don't want to purposely refer to Billy all the time, but when Willie passed away and you still went to the home, it still felt like a home when Lily was there. There was still a bit of humour, there was still that warmth, a lot of warmth. But now Lily's gone, the homemaker has ceased, and there's no more warmth. It's a home, it's a house. Lily Ferguson, I believe, I didn't know her in her early days, but I know that here in the congregation, her name was spoken with great affection, what she did for the church. A very industrious woman. Just heard about her apple tart. I think she did bake an apple tart for my wife once for some of the teas here in the church. But, you know, she was a very industrious lady, a very humorous lady. The home was just a joy to be in. Whenever you went to the home and you had to read the scriptures, you always had to read the scriptures. Brother If you're going to visit the Fergusons, or if you had been visiting the Fergusons, you had to read the Word of God. And it was almost a humorous kind of thing, because whenever you started one of the Psalms, Psalm 103 or Psalm 40, you know, you could hardly hear your ears, because Billy was on this side of you, Lily was on the other side, and Billy's up busy amening and praising the Lord, and you know, I'm shouting, trying to hear myself think, and you almost cut the reading short just to get to the prayer, and then it all started again. But it was a joy to be in that home, the warmth, and to hear the love that they had for the Scriptures. In verse 20 here, Solomon speaks about the generosity of the excellent woman, the generosity of the neighbour. Lily was a good neighbour. Verse 20 says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she has reached forth her hand to the needy. It's true what Mr. Harton said. It would have embarrassed you sometimes when you went in before your summer holidays to say, Mr. Ferguson, Mrs. Ferguson, we're going away for a couple of weeks. We'll not see you till we come back. The first thing you'd have saw Lily reaching for was the purse. You know, it wasn't a few coins. It was maybe £20 or £30. That's for the children. Now you make sure and give that to the children. It's not for you. It's not for your wife. It's for the children. And you know, you grandchildren, you will know this better than I will, but you never left that home empty-handed. And you will miss that. Not miss the money, but miss the blessed generosity of a big-hearted woman that Lily Ferguson was. But I want to speak of her blessedness as a mother. You know, John and Margaret, you will miss Lily as a mother. Verse 28, it says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. I've heard people say of Lily and of Billy, you know, but sure they were 99. Well, or Willie was 96 and Lily would be 90, or was 90 in June, is that right? Almost 89 in June. And sure they've got many years, as they often say, they've got good innings. I don't really like that language, but we hear people say that. Sure, why are you all the fuss about someone who's almost 90 years of age, or as Billy was 96? But they've missed the point altogether, because verse 28 says here, her children rise up and call her blessed. They've missed the point that the longer they had Lily as a mother, the more the blessedness became evident. You know, there's many attractions that you young men have to a wife or a woman. You know, whenever you start going with your fiancé, your girlfriend, your fiancé, you engage to her, you soon realise you haven't got all a whole lifetime to find out her faults and her good points. You've got to make a decision, well, do I marry her, do I not? And you base that maybe on the chemical attractions, you know, the good looks, or something else. But when you're married and years pass by, it's through that time that you become to appreciate more the value of a mother. And even at 89 years of age almost, to John and to Margaret, to the whole family circle, you know, the blessedness of mother became more evident. And I think that's no exaggeration to say that of Lily Ferguson. She was a blessed mother. And today her children rise up and they call her blessed. You know, this sermon or this message would not be complete by not mentioning her excellence as a saint. In verse 31, what do we read? That she is a woman that feareth the Lord. A woman that feareth the Lord. That's the secret of Lily's strength. We could say, well, where did all these virtues come from? Her generosity, her love as a wife, her skill as a homemaker, her blessedness as a mother, as a parent. And yet we're told here that she is a woman that feareth the Lord, her excellence as a saint. The word there, favour, in verse 30 says, favour is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Charm, in other words. Beauty has to do with the face, but it can hide a wicked heart. But Lily Ferguson's heart was right with God. Her heart feared the Lord. She had a beauty about her because it was the beauty of Christ. And congregation, this afternoon, as we move into the afternoon, This is the message I want to leave with you. The beauty of Christ and the grace of Christ was what made Lily the excellent woman, the virtuous woman. Paul says in the book of Philippians, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Lily Ferguson lived Christ. Christ lived in her. That was the home. There was an ambience about Christ, about the home, when Billy was there and Lily, and then laterally Lily herself. Grace had changed her heart. In verse 26, Solomon says, in her mouth is the law of kindness. The word kindness simply means loving kindness or grace. In her mouth was the law of grace. The Bible tells us that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or the mouth moves because of that which is in the heart. And young people, older people, whatever your standing of life is today, this is the great message of the gospel. That Christ changes men. Christ changes women. He gives them the attributes that are like him. Of grace and mercy and generosity, loving kindness. The law of kindness, it is first in the heart. It changes the whole demeanor. There was a time, as Reverend Harkness said, when Lily did not know the Lord. She came to know Christ. The law of kindness began to live in her and then work through her. And that's why she is the woman that we remember today. A Christian woman with Christ-like virtues. There's many people here today from the Craigahousen estate. If I could just say to you, Lily prayed for you. Lily prayed for that housing estate. Billy prayed for it. They prayed for their surrounding area. They prayed for their neighbours. And today a light has gone out in the Craigahousen estate. A man and woman who were salt of the earth, the light of the world, have gone to be with Christ. But their testimony lives on. And my encouragement to you today is, why not come and trust Lily's Saviour? What about Lily's Christ? I spoke at Billy's funeral and I said, what about considering the godly man's Christ? What about the godly woman's Christ? It's the same Christ. The Christ that saved Billy is the Christ that saved Lily. And it's the same Christ that can save you. That's a great gospel. And I trust today that you will consider him. Consider Christ, who gave his beauty to Lily. He beautified her with the law of kindness, made her that virtuous woman. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts.